Every day this week, remember to thank God and a veteran for the freedom we have this morning to worship like we do. You can open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. I want to speak this morning about receiving God's endorsement. Now, this is one message in a series, and for many weeks now, we've been talking about spiritual maturity. The challenge in God's Word where He says us, be perfect. Now, it's funny, the thought that I could be perfect, or many of you that I know very well. Sort of funny that you might be perfect, but yet it's a biblical mandate, and it's really not up to us alone. The job description of the Holy Spirit, as soon as we surrender our life to Jesus, He goes to work making us Christ-like. And as we mature spiritually, we become more and more and more consistent in our Christ-likeness to the point in the future, which is ahead for each of us, when we finally see Him at that moment, we will be just like Him, just like Him. The Bible says it's not reasonable for us to expect we will ever be greater than our teacher, no student ever greater than our teacher, but the Bible says it is enough for a student to be just like the teacher. And endorsement is a strong word in this political year. There are those who have given their endorsement to certain candidates. Then there are others who have famously withheld their endorsement. And even some say, well, we're talking on the phone, but I'm not ready to endorse a candidate. Some wonder if an endorsement by any politician really means all that much. I've heard that buzz in the news. But if we ever needed anybody's endorsement, we need God's endorsement. And the scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The King James, rarely do I go back to 1611 and read from the King James on a Sunday morning, but this verse I like in the King James Version. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the word to be approved unto God. To receive God's endorsement is largely determined by how much word study we put in. The New King James Version says, be diligent, work hard. One translation says, work hard in your study of God's word, so that as we're born into the kingdom of God, a baby, and we're nursing on the milk of the word, just milk of the word, and that's okay. If you're a new believer, desire the milk. The Bible says it's the milk of the Word that helps a baby grow. But then, after you grow and mature so far in the Spirit on the milk of the Word, He starts serving meat, strong meat of the Word. The Bible says belongs to them who are of a full age, those who are growing up spiritually. And we're to study at every level, study the Word of God until we can skillfully handle God's Word, rightly dividing the Word. And when we study God's Word thoroughly enough, God's endorsement is obvious on our life. Now, make no mistake about it. As soon as you're born again, He seals you. It's the seal of the Holy Spirit. That's not the end of the process. That's the beginning. That's like the down payment. God says, okay, you've expressed your faith. You've confessed your faith that Jesus is Lord. And you're trusting His blood to forgive your sin. I have a claim on you now, an eternal claim. The Holy Spirit is sealing you right now. It's one thing to be sealed, but that's the earnest money. That's the down payment. That's just the first thing the Holy Spirit begins to do in our life as a new believer. And then as we study and become well equipped to skillfully handle God's Word in our daily life, His endorsement starts resting. As we study the Word of God, God's approval comes upon us. His endorsement comes upon us. Now, I have 7 points, and we may be out in 7 minutes. Is it okay, 1 minute a point? I don't want to freak you out by saying, I have 7 points. You know, sometimes it takes me 45 minutes to get 3 points. Today it's 7. But they're quick. And we're going to dismiss on a dime, and you can charge the door and get outside and play beach balls in the rain. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Somebody told me one time that you cannot improve what you will not measure. And that's so true. If you want to be excellent in any area of your life, start measuring the labor of your hand. Because you cannot improve what you will not measure. So these 7 points are a way for you to measure your own self. Don't measure me, and I won't measure you. I have no right to measure you. Everybody measures their own self by these 7 different levels of word study. So much about our life is determined based on our relationship with God's Word. Point number one. How do you receive God's endorsement? Hearing God's Word. It's our relationship with His Word. And the first step is to hear God's Word. Now, this is the milk. You don't have to be a believer very long at all to qualify for hearing. The best 5 words I know in the Bible today, the best 5 words all written in red, Jesus said them to His followers. And they're so simple and fundamental, but it's a foundation for our lifestyle as believers. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." How liberating is that? God is easy to hear when He speaks. And if you're born again, this is milk. This is not strong meat. You don't need to chew very much on this. You just need to hear those 5 words. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." When we get into God's Word, even as a babe in Christ, this is level one. We will read His Word, and as we read His Word, we will hear His voice. If you're a born-again believer, you qualify. You don't have to go to a 4-year seminary and get a degree. You don't have to have a PhD at the end of your name. If you've just met the Lord Jesus and heard Him say those 5 words, you're qualified to hear God speak. Hearing God's Word. The second level of our word development is receiving God's Word. James 1:21 says, "Receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls." That word soul there is not spirit. It's soul. It means more about your mindset, your own will, your old nature that has to bend and change and sometimes be crucified altogether so that you can be consistently Christ-like as we develop and mature spiritually. Receiving God's Word, that means accepting it as a truth. You can hear God say something and reject it. I won't ask for a show of hands how many have ever heard God speak to you and you said, "Oh, no thank you." I remember another sermon I preached on Jonah. And the title of the sermon was, "When God Says Go, and You Say No." So after we hear God, and this is still milk. This is nothing that's going to choke you to death. This is milk. A baby, somebody who's been saved 2 weeks can ingest this like a baby taking in milk. You receive God's Word. You hear it and you say, "Oh, that's the truth. I receive it. I accept it." And I've used this analogy many times. It's like a farmer sowing seed in the ground. In fact, Jesus gave some parables. One of them was the parable of the sower sowing the word. And literally, Jesus said a farmer will take a seed and put it in the ground. And it's like a sower sowing the word. So the same way a farmer puts a seed in the ground and the ground receives the seed. Now the ground doesn't have to talk to the seed anymore. After that, the seed knows what to do. If it's a corn seed, the seed never needs to be told, now you produce corn now. I want to see a stalk out of you. I want you to grow about 6 feet tall. And I want you to have about 5 or 6 big ears of yellow corn on you before it's over. You got 60 days to get it done. Now grow and be corn. No, the ground don't have to talk to the seed. The ground just receives the seed. And the seed becomes one with the ground. And the seed knows what it should bear in terms of fruitfulness. And so, first is hearing God's word. Second is receiving God's word. Agreeing with it. Accepting it. Third is studying God's word. Now the milk becomes meatier. It's a little more texture in the food we're receiving. Studying God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved. This is Amplified Bible. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us why we should study God's word. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Are you interested in doctrine? That's a live or die issue. Our doctrine really matters. We want to know what God's word says about cardinal doctrines. Some people are preaching other things out there these days. Reincarnation, you know, some believers, that may have crept in. It's amazing. Take a poll. Even mainstream Christians in America take some things lightly these days that a generation ago they were opposed to. Reincarnation is one. New Age doctrines. Hey, look, God's word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Have you ever needed reproof in your own life? For correction. And it's profitable for instruction or training and discipline in righteousness. It says that the man of God may be complete. There's where we're headed. Completion, perfection, maturity. We're headed that. How can we ever be complete, mature, and perfected? It's by receiving doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction from God's word as we study. Now it's taking on some meat here. No longer just milk, not just a liquid diet, but some real substance. God is feeding us as we grow to this level, studying God's word. And it says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we study God's word, we become thoroughly equipped. And I've mentioned this before, one of the nuggets I uncovered in Scripture, worth celebrating. That term, thoroughly equipped, after we study the Word enough, we become complete, mature, and thoroughly equipped. That's a Greek phrase that ship captains used to use. It was the captain of the ship's responsibility to make sure before the ship left dock, headed across the sea, it was the captain's responsibility to make sure every man that was supposed to be on board was there, all the provision they would need for the complete journey was on board, enough food, enough ration, enough clothes, everything they could possibly need to make it safely to the other side was on board. And then when everything was on board that they needed to get to where they were going, the captain would say, we are thoroughly equipped and we're ready to set sail. And that's what studying God's word will do. It will make you thoroughly equipped for wherever God wants to take you in life and for whatever he wants to do through you in life. All right, now we're shifting gears quickly. First, hearing God's word, that's milk. Receiving God's word, that's milk. Studying God's word, it becomes a little more like meat now, but here we're full meat. Here we're filet mignon. Right now on number 4 and beyond, we are ribeye steak right now. Number 4, meditating on God's word. Now that word meditating spooks some people today. That word has been hijacked by other groups, cults, New Age isms, but it's a biblical word. Meditation is a lost art. If you study God's word, you will immediately see we're instructed to meditate on God's word. Now, this is steak right here. It's strong meat. When you get to this level of growing in the word, your relationship to the word of God as you are spiritually maturing, it's at this level you have to chew on what you've heard God say, the word you've received from God, the word you are studying from God. It takes meditation. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who delights in God's word and meditates in it day and night. That's 24/7. Meditating on God's word. That's, for instance, happening like this. You will be somewhere, it could be on your own private study, it could be listening to praise and worship in your car, it could be when everything's silent and God speaks and just drops a word into your spirit. It could be when you're reading the Bible and God ministers a word to you, you hear it, you receive it, you begin studying it, and then you chew on it. You meditate. In the Hebrew, the word meditate means to chew, to savor, to ponder, and to imagine. So you take the word God has given you. You know you've heard from God. You've received it as God's word for you. You are studying and meditating on it right now. You're pondering that word. What are all the possibilities God may have in mind by giving you that word? Your spiritual imagination gets stirred up in a holy way. Just at the thought of all God might be wanting to accomplish in you as you chew on this word. Now, if you get a word like that, that's so strong and meaty, it'll kill you if you swallow it right then. I read in the news yesterday where the Heimlich maneuver, you know, this is where you get something caught in your throat and it won't come up, it won't go down, and the only way you can survive is somebody do the Heimlich maneuver on you. It was invented by, of course, Dr. Heimlich. And he has never used his own technique to save anybody's life. The opportunity was not there until this week. He's 96 years old and he lives in a nursing home. And an old resident in the same nursing home with him was chewing something and tried to swallow it before it was ready to go down and got choked, and Dr. Heimlich, at age 96, this past week, for the first time in his life, used his own world-famous maneuver to save somebody's life. Now, spiritually, you don't need anybody to come and do the Heimlich for you because you're trying to swallow a strong word too quickly. When God gives you a meat of a word, and you know it when you get it, it's to ponder, it's to meditate, it's to study deeply, and it's to chew until it's palatable and until you can ingest it and your body can digest it without doing harm to yourself. Oh, we're getting deep now. I'm talking meat of the word right now this morning. And when it comes to meditating on God's word, some of you need to change this right now. Today, in fact, I'm setting some of you free. I don't know if you need it or not. Some of you might need to be set totally free this morning. If so, I'm about to do it for somebody. Oh. There's my usher right back there. He was telling me this morning, I don't look as old as I am the way I dance and carry on up here. I feel it coming on right now. Our bishop is 87 and he can do it still. I'm getting ready to set somebody free when it comes to meditating on God's word. And here is your liberty right here. It is better to read 5 words and receive revelation and understanding from them than to read 5 chapters and get no understanding. There. Somebody is set free right now this morning. In fact, it could be bondage and it could be no life in it, in and of itself. I mean, God can work with about anything, but If you're one of the ones that, well, I've got to read 15 chapters every day so I can meet my quota, and by the end of the year I've read the whole Bible through again now for the 40th time. Well, that may be good, but measure yourself by these seven steps. How much are you hearing? How much are you receiving? How much are you studying? And how well are you meditating on the word you do receive? It's all about revelation. David in Psalms 119:18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word." So unless you're seeing wondrous things and understanding fresh revelation consistently, you may be missing it on this point. We're to meditate on God's word. All right, number five. We're about out of here, and the rain hasn't really started. Number five is treasuring God's word. Now, this is for maturing people. Treasuring God's word. You look at just the word of God itself, and of course it's words on paper. It could be minimized by someone who doesn't appreciate or connect spiritual significance to it. It's just another book on a shelf. It's just words on paper if we overlook the fact that it is the spoken word of God as well. The Logos written word becomes Rhema, the spoken word. As we read God's written word, we hear His voice. When you think of the Bible itself, it is by far, the best-selling book that's ever been printed on planet Earth. I mean, by far. There's not even a close second. The second best-selling book in the world is a book written by Rick Warren called The Purpose-Driven Life, and that book was written about this one. I mean, I was reading O.M. Shipp's celebration of their 50-plus years in ministry, the beautiful booklet of all that O.M. especially last year did around the world. One of our ministry partners in World Missions, and Miles and Patty Taves, our dear friends, and they are leaders with that great ministry. And I mean, they've given millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of Bibles away free on the Logos Hope and other ships in their ministry over the years. I mean, it's the bestseller by far. But do we really value it and treasure it as God's word to us? Proverbs chapter 2 says, "If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So when we get in the book to grow up for our spiritual maturity, when we get in here to hear what God is wanting to say to us, we need to consider it almost like an archaeological dig. We just are mining for gold, and you'll know it when you hit it. When you strike gold in Scripture and the light bulbs start coming on, understanding and revelation, this idea and the impression and the heavy witness in your spirit that God is speaking this to me right now. Lord, this is a right now word where I am right now. This is an in-season word, and I hear it and I receive it. And I study on it, and I meditate on it, and I treasure this word. We don't even realize what a treasure the Bible is in the United States. All of us have 14, or 38, or 50, or even on an app, just one app, one press of your finger right now with that device you're holding in your hand, and you've got like 150 different translations. We don't treasure it like we should. I remember a story being told to me in Russia that one of the house churches, the underground house churches that survived communism by keeping their faith quiet outside of their home, all they had was one page out of the Gospel of Luke. That's all they were ever given, one page. And so for 4 years before they got a full New Testament, every time they would meet and study God's word privately in this underground Christian home, they would read from that one page. We would miss it if we didn't have it. We should treasure God's Word. This is for serious students of God's Word only. China, for many years, outlawed, restricted. It was considered contraband. And in some places in America, I hate to say it, but the Bible is not welcome. Of all places, it should be a prison, you would think. But Brenda and I took a prisoner of Bible in Santa Barbara, California, and they wouldn't let us give it to the prisoner. And they said to me, that's contraband. We can't accept that. Now, I believe they had it built into their system that they could get one from the inside, and I understand that. But the thought of it, the sudden awareness, the shock, well, I brought a Bible. I drove 3 hours to meet this prisoner and to give him a Bible. His daddy asked me to do that. And they're telling me I can't because it's contraband. That was in the state of California. God, we pray for California. And it was great news to find out they do not have a drought. Wasn't that fun? Okay, I got to stay on track here. I'm about ready. Somebody's going to throw a tomato at me if I don't. I remember going to a country one time where there was no Bible. And getting back into Florence Airport, Brenda picked me up. And, excuse me, she asked, how was your trip? And the first thing I said to her, darling, I met so many people that have never seen a Bible in their life. We should treasure God's Word. And when we get into it, we should mine for gold. The sixth level is memorizing God's Word. Now, you're no longer children if you get here. You know what it is to chew on some strong meat and to enjoy growing from the meat of God's Word that you've received. Psalm 119:11 says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's not just so much how much of God's Word we read, hear, receive, study, meditate, treasure, but we need to hide it in our heart. It's memorizing God's Word, not just mentally, but hiding it. David said, hiding it in my heart. I've hidden your Word in my heart. And I remember this set me free because I am of a certain age. Now, I'm still a young man and I'm still growing and I haven't arrived yet. And you know me. I'm still a work in progress, as are you. But I am of a certain age now. There are benefits that come with aging and especially in maturing spiritually. I remember 20-something years ago, and I was on my journey even then. But the church was on House Springs Road down here. God was blessing us. We were growing. And in fact, we were at a place to start building in the future, looking for property. We were not here yet. And it was so fast-paced. Every day, God was moving, and we were feeling the push to plow ahead and buy property and build, and thank God for this beautiful building that we're in now. But the phone rang, and Jackie Martell, who's with the Lord now, was our secretary at the time. And she buzzed me in the office down here at House Springs, and she said, Charles Carter is on the phone for you. Well, now, I'd only spoken to Charles twice in my life, and he had a prophetic gift. Now, if you're here today and you don't know about prophets or prophetic gifts, we're not going to get weird on you. Study the Word. Meditate on the Word. It'll get to you. Treasure the Word, every word. So, I knew then, Charles Carter's calling for me. He's only called me twice in my life. He was from Vidalia, Georgia, and strongly prophetically gifted. I answered the phone, hello, Charles. And he said, Carl, I've had you on my mind the last few days, and I've been praying for you, and I don't know what all is going on down there with you. I have no natural knowledge of anything going on, but I just felt like the Lord wanted me to call you and suggest to you to separate yourself for 3 days and shut out every voice but God's. And when I was on the phone with him hearing that word, it was like the world was spinning around just like this right here, just spinning around. And then when I heard him say, separate yourself for 3 days and shut out every voice but God's, it was like the merry-go-round just pretty quickly came to a standstill. And I knew, oh, God has something to say to me. And so I went and got in a room all by myself, and the temptation and the distraction to turn on a TV. Nope, I'm not going to do it. Well, I'm here for 3 days. I could at least get 10 minutes of it. Nope, didn't even turn it on. Because I knew, you turn it on, and it might not get turned off for a while. So I didn't even turn it. But I was so desperate, and I was younger then. I wasn't as spiritually mature as I am now. And I'm still not above this. When I get desperate, I do it any way I have to. You know what I mean? But I remember, God, I know you've got something to say to me. And the Lord, I don't know how to do it any better than this, but I've got my Bible here, and I'm going to open my Bible, and I'm just going to let my finger drop. And I'm believing that whatever page and whatever verse my finger lands on, that's the word you have for me. Have you ever done it? It's okay. I admit it, I have. But as we memorize God's word, hide it in our heart. Now when I need to get a word from God, I don't open a book and point my finger. I know it's in my heart already. It's already in my heart. I've hidden it in my heart, so it's a matter of retrieving the right word for this situation. That comes with memorizing God's word, hiding it in your heart. Scripture ingrained in our memory and also embedded in our heart. So have you kept up with me now? Am I moving fast enough? A little bit longer than 7 minutes, but all right. Hearing God's word, receiving God's word, studying God's word, meditating, treasuring, memorizing God's word. And then here's the seventh and the final one. This is when we're nearing perfection, maturity, completion. It's the work of the Holy Spirit doing an inside job in each of us. The seventh one is applying God's word. Doesn't matter how much of His word we hear, even receive temporarily. If we don't work it all the way down through every step and arrive here at applying God's word, then it didn't do us maximized good. Applying God's word to our everyday life, our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes. And there is a huge gap, a great divide many times between the word we hear, it begins with the milk of the word we hear, and the word we apply and actually live out. A huge gap if we're not careful. So as we spiritually mature, the gap closes. As we grow up and become consistently Christ-like, then eventually the goal is to get to the place to where every word from God we hear, we receive, we study, we meditate, we treasure, we memorize, we hide it in our heart, and we go to work in our life with it. We apply that word. That's God's intention when He gives us a word anyway. We need to get rid of the disconnect factor, the huge disconnect between hearing the word and at the other end of the spectrum, at full maturity, applying that word, actually living that word out in our life. The word brings only limited benefit. If we hear it, receive it, study it, meditate on it, treasure it, and even memorize it, but then never apply it. For the fully mature, it must be applied. And it must affect the way we think, the way we conduct business, the way we respect our relationships. It affects us in our home life. It affects us on the job. It affects us personally and professionally. It affects every area of our life. God's word has that target. It's aimed for each of us, and it's wanting to affect the way we live our life, and we must apply God's Word. So the Word of God comes to us like this. First of all, we will hear it in its information. You'll find these four walls in the lobby of our church on our marquee that stood for a year in Magnolia Mall right outside of Barnes & Noble. We wanted everybody that went to Barnes & Noble to know this is what we think, and in this order. We will hear God's Word. It begins with information. And it becomes inspiration. And then thirdly, it becomes revelation. And that as we apply it, finally, it becomes transformation. But we're never transformed fully until we go through every seven steps, all seven, and we end up applying God's Word. Would you stand with me? Let's do it this way just before we dismiss. As a prayer of confession, pray this out loud. Pray it like you mean it. Everybody together. Dear Lord Jesus, today I am hearing your word. I am receiving your word. I am